السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام.
إن شاء الله we are here for a very special occasion for the nikah of our beloved daughter and sister Zahra with Umair, and we pray and hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless this marriage with His acceptance and put love and mercy and rahmah between them. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. We praise and do hamd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His divine, as is befitting His divine glory and majesty. And we send peace and blessings on His messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His slave, servant, and messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us in these ayats that the foundation of everything that is good and worthwhile is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all times. And this is also a foundational principle of all marriages, that we should always be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So I first remind you, all of you, and especially our groom and our bride, that you are answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember that today, and remember that always. That is why we start with the ayats of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created you. He is the one who has brought you together. You didn't know each other. He is the one who has put love and acceptance and rahmah between you and your hearts. And He is the one who has intended for you to establish the core of human society, which is the family. So, the institution of the marriage is that foundational relationship on which all society is built. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who, going forward, will put fulfillment in your marriage, love, peace, compassion and serenity, and comfort and hope. So first I will remind you of the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His rights upon you. And that, as you know, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves to be worshipped, and that is the purpose of your creation. And as you all know, besides saying that we believe in Him, we confirm that by our actions, which is the five salawat on their times every day, the giving of the zakat, the fasting of Ramadan, and the performance of Hajj. And we should remember to always be mindful of Him, to always remember Him and be conscious of Him. If you remember Him, He will remember you in the times of your difficulty. And you be grateful to Him at all times, and He will increase you in His blessings to you. So first and foremost, you must safeguard and protect the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that, He will protect you. You safeguard His deen, and you will always find Him when you need Him in front of you. If you ask, ask only from Him. If you seek help, seek only His help. And remember, as the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, that if all of the creation, all of mankind and jinnkind got together and wanted to harm you, they cannot harm you except that which Allah has permitted. And if they all wanted to benefit you, they cannot benefit you except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted and allowed. And that, the pens of destiny have been lifted and the scrolls have dried. Remember that nothing in this deen of Islam is irrational. Even if you don't understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind any of His commandments. So humble yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Whatever they command, you say, we listen and we obey. Learn together your deen, practice your, and help each other to practice what you learn, and compete with each other in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And help each other in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger with wisdom, with kindness, with gentleness and compassion. Now the nikah, this wedding is a form of ibadah in our deen. It's a form of ibadah. It is a sunnah because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An nikahu sunnati." The nikah is my sunnah. And whoever turns away from this, laysa minni, he is not from me. Okay? And in some circumstances, the nikah is actually wajib. But we'll take it as this. And the Prophet ﷺ has called it as half of his deen, the completion of the deen. And just remember that your spouse is a ni'mah, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should show gratitude to him by treating his blessing with special, in a special way. And you show thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ali radiallahu anhu said in explaining the ayah, Rabbana atana fid dunya hasana, he said, Rabbana atana fid dunya hasana, the good of this world is a righteous spouse, a righteous wife. There's nothing better than this. And there are many ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that in this dunya, everything of this dunya, the best of that is to have a righteous, a good, virtuous spouse. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from day one created everything in pairs. And Allah is unique that He is without a pair. He is by Himself. Everything else is in pairs, including the human beings. So, the first pair, this is how our society started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us in need of companionship. We need to live together. Human beings cannot live in isolation. We need each other. And the need of that society, the first unit of that is the family, and the family is the husband and wife, not the parents and the children. Because the foundational relationship is the man and the woman. And all other relationships, whether it's your children, whether it's the parents, come as a branch of that relationship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and from him, Hawa alayhi salam. And from them, everyone else. Every relationship, first they were husband and wife, then they were parents. Then they were father-in-law and mother-in-law. Then they were grandfathers. That is the first relationship. And for all of us who live long enough, that is the last relationship. Why is that? Because when your children grow up and move away, who is left in the house? The old husband and the old wife. That's the last. And how strong is this relationship? That this is the main relationship that continues in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you and your spouse are righteous, even in Jannah you will be together. So this is the importance of this relationship. So we must remember that this, just this sabse bunyadi aur aham jo rishta hai wo ye hai, miyan biwi wala. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all happiness. And all happiness, all peace, all sukoon, tranquility, contentment that Allah has put in this dunya is through the integrity of this relationship. If this relationship does not work, no matter what you have, you will not be happy. And you cannot live in isolation. So you look in the Western world, where you have all material wealth and all technology, there is a lot of unhappiness, and that's why the suicide rates are so high, especially if you look in Europe. And if you ask them, what is the reason? Loneliness. Because that relationship doesn't exist between the husband and wife. The divorce rates are so high, the lack of trust, and all of that is a means that they cannot find peace and tranquility. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. That it is from His ayat, this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has created for you from within you, from you, your spouses. And then He says, so that you may live in tranquility, sukoon. You know, if you don't have sukoon, you don't have anything. There cannot be any happiness. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً. And He has put between you love, وَرَحْمَةً, and mercy. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And this is for people who can reflect. That this is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through this, you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His, one of His ayat. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined this relationship in hundreds of ayats in the Quran. If you look for salah, how to do salah, there are a few ayats. All of Hajj is in a few ayats in one place in the Quran. Zakat, 2-3 ayats here and there. There are hundreds of ayats that deal with this relationship of the fundamental foundation of the family. They are scattered in Surah Baqarah. An-Nisa is full of them. Al-Ma'idah, Surah Tahrim, Surah Nur, Surah Hujra. It's all over. There are hundreds of ayats to tell us the importance of this. Almost, it is as important as salah. So we must remember that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautifully described this relationship as to what it should be when He says, "Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun." That your wives, He's telling the men, are like your garments, like your clothes. And then He doesn't stop there. He said, "And you are their clothes." And there are long explanations of just this ayah. What is this relationship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given of clothes? Because one, it tells you that between you and your garment, there is no distance. We should be close to each other. Number two, what do the clothes do? They make you look more beautiful. That each one should make the spouse look more beautiful. Number two, they are recognized by that. You are recognized by your clothes. Number three, they give you comfort. They give you protection. And they mold with you, whichever way you turn, your clothes move in that way. And there are many, many others that tell us that this is the relation. Even, I will tell you, your clothes smell of you. That's how, you know, you can pick up something, say, this smells like my wife, this smells like my daughter. This is how close this relationship is. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it. The capsule summary of this whole relationship is two things. In Urdu, Meetha bol or achha suluk. That your words should be sweet and gentle, and your treatment should be the best for each other. The Prophet ﷺ said, the meaning of which is, the most complete iman of yours is the one who has the best of akhlaq, and he said, the best of you is the one who is best to his spouse, to his wife and her husband. And he said, I am the best to my wife. And then in his fair, he took this so important that on the Hajjatul Wada, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, especially adding this, he said, your wives, treat them well. They are like your prisoners. They have been given in your control, because that's the kind of society it was. Treat them well. And on the other hand, to tell the wives what is the right and the rank of the husband, he said, if in my Sharia sajda was permitted to anyone, it would be the sajda of the wife to the husband. This is also to tell what is the rutbah, what is the rank of the husband. Now, after all of this, what does he do? Now, for us, the examples, all the prophets, we have examples of their wives, but nobody's details as we have of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. He is married to Aisha radiallahu anha. She was a young girl. She says, other young girls used to come and play with dolls with me. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to come and they used to run away because they were scared. And he used to go and gather, find them and say, come and play with her. Come and play with her. He used to help. She didn't know how to cook. He used to help teach her how to cook till she learned. Okay. And he would help with all of his wives and household chores. If something needed to be cleaned, he would, some mess needed to be picked up, he would pick it up. He would mend his own clothes. So he was not demanding from his wives that this is your job. Telling us how to be gentle and kind to them. And he gave us an example. He said that the wives, the woman was made out of the curved rib of the man. And if you said, if you try and straighten it, it will break. What does it mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the women in a different way and the man in a different way. A man thinks logically, this is how it should be. He uses his brains and all. A woman generally thinks emotionally. You know, emotion. So each has to be respectful of the other. That the man says, well, this doesn't make sense. He should be sensitive that my wife thinks differently. She thinks with emotion and other things. So we should remember that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stressed the duties and responsibilities of the spouse. One thing to remember, that with every duty and responsibility, if there is a violation, there will be an effect of that on the relationship, even if we don't know how. Because each one of that is divinely inspired and obligated. If Allah says this is your right and this is your duty, you follow it, otherwise it will have an effect on your relationship. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made one of the main obligations of the husband is to provide for the wife, to take care of her need, to give her a place to live, to provide for her food, for her clothes, and a decent living according to the standards that she has. Now today the teaching is that the women should have their own work, they should be independent. Well, if she wants, she may work. But what is the beauty and wisdom of this? That when the husband takes care of the wife appreciates it and it brings that ta'alluq, that attachment, that my wife, my husband is sacrificing to do this. It brings you closer as opposed to, well, I can do my own thing, you do your own. Okay, this is what we teach when we tell people to be independent. And the wife, the main thing is, she should be obedient to her husband. Of course, if the husband is asking her to do something wrong, that is different. But listening to what the husband says after you get married takes precedence over what your mother and father say. Okay, that is the rank of the husband. And she should guard her chastity and her household and beautify herself for her husband and not invite or entertain anybody in her home that the husband would not be happy with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger has given a very easy formula for a woman to enter Jannah. He says, a woman who guards her chastity, protects herself, who prays 5 times a day, and fulfills the right of her husband can enter Jannah through any of its 8 gates. Easy formula. 5 salahs represents the hukuf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those 2 things. And this is what it should be. So remember to treat each other with kindness and love and gentleness and protect the sanctity of your family and your home and be good examples for each other. If you focus on your obligations, your duties, and not focus on your rights, you will do very well. If you focus on your responsibility, what I need to do, as opposed to what my husband or wife should do for me, then you will be okay. Just remember that. So this is a fundamental formula of happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this for addressing the husbands, the men. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعَرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرَهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَأٌ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. And live with your wives in the best manner. Because if you see something that you dislike in them, because nobody is perfect. You're not going to get 100% score on any spouse. Nobody will. Allah has not made it like that. Okay? 100% perfection is an unrealistic goal. Even to pass any exam in the dunya, you're not expected. In India and Pakistan, 33% you pass. Okay? Even on the day of judgment, 100% is not required. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever scale is heavier, 51% pass. So don't expect 100% perfection because you will be disappointed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you see a fault, don't let that one fault make you forget and wipe out all of her virtues. Because if Allah has put one fault, maybe Allah will put a lot of khair in her for you. You don't know. So keep that in mind. And just remember that our journey of married life is a road in, like, it's like Route 391, full of potholes and it's bumpy. Your life is not going to be smooth. It's going to be bumpy. This is the tests that come. And there will always be fights and disagreements. And where does this happen? It's from the best it has met. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes and visits Fatima radiallahu anha and finds her in distress. Fatima, where is Ali? He's not here. He didn't spend the night here. What happened? We had a fight. So where is he? So he sends someone, find where Ali is. He's sleeping in the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the father of the bride himself, no pride, I am Rasulullah. He goes, he finds Ali radiallahu anhu sleeping, his garment had come down, dust was all himself. He pokes him like this with his foot, said, Ya Aba Turab, this is the title how he got his, O father of dust, because there is dust, and this was his loving title. Boom, stand up. And then he doesn't ask him anything, he said, come with me. He doesn't say, did you have a fight with Fatima? Then he goes to her home. Then he doesn't ask, what is your complaint? What is your... This is how we go between people. And that makes things worse. Guess what he does? After a while, he lies down. And he says, Ali, you come lie down next to me on his right side. And he says, Fatima, you come lie down on my left side. Then he takes the hand of Ali and puts it on his belly like this. He takes the hand of Fatima, puts it on top, puts his hand on top, and said, Ali, say that I have forgiven and we have made peace, Fatima. So Ali says, there's a Fatima, you said the same thing? That's it, khalas, he comes out. He's looking very happy. People in the masjid say, you look so happy. He said, I just made peace between Fatima and Ali. Means this will happen. Now forget about that. Go to his own household. Were there disagreements? What did he say? Yes, there were. He said, Ya Aisha, radiallahu anha, I know when you are unhappy with me. Ya Rasulullah, how do you know that? So when you are unhappy with me, you always swear by Rabb of Ibrahim, by the Lord of Ibrahim. And when you are happy with me, you say by the Rabb of Muhammad. So I know you are unhappy with me. So these things will happen. One time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset with all of his wife. For 1 month, he stayed alone. Yet, he did not go and scream and yell and fight with them. Okay? There will be those things, and we have to understand that we cannot use harsh words. The most important thing, the biggest advice that you can take from all of today is be very careful of the tongue. Just remember that hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held on. He said, do you want to know what is behind everything? Your whole deen and everything is your tongue, what you say. Because the words that you say, when you're angry, when you're upset, that injury never goes away. So be very careful, especially when you're upset and angry, of the words you say. And be gentle with those words. And the solution for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could take a lot of difficulties from people. You know, lot of hardship and harshness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when he was stoned, he said, you know, and he used to worry, he said, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَدِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا تَقُولُونَ. And Allah subhanahu and says, and we know that what constricts your heart, and his is the most expanded of hearts, that what hurts you the most is what they say, the words of you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the formula. If you get hurt like that, what does he say? فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. That go and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do his ibadah and worship him. That if something like that should happen, bear it. If somebody is saying wrong, be in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you yourself have said something wrong, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask your spouse for forgiveness. And like I said, show gratitude and thankfulness to your spouses for little acts of kindness. Like we thank everybody outside when we are, somebody brings you a glass of water, thank you. But when our wives and bring them, we don't say anything. So respond to them, because this wins the hearts of people. And spend time with each other. It's very, very important, especially in a country like this, that you spend time with each other so that, and pay attention to each other, because our wives always complain that you don't pay attention to me. That you may learn, you may know what a person likes, what they dislike. And then we try and do the things that please our spouse and stay away from what we don't. And we conduct our affair with shura. There is no dictatorship. We should do mashwara and consult each other and share with each other. And remember the station of your parents, help each other and honor each other's parents like your own. And don't make it a means of differences that my father and my mother said this, and your father and your mother said this. This should never enter it into our marriages. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with children, find them good names, pick good names for them, teach them the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be good examples for them, and lead by example. And remember to bring only that which is halal into your homes from your earnings and from your provision, and feed and eat only of that which is halal. And remember, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for you will always come to you. Your risk is written, and you don't have to go out of your way to achieve it, whether it's halal or haram. And the wealthiest, the richest one is the one who is content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for them. And be generous and help all good causes. Choose your friends and companions carefully, because whoever you spend time with, that's who you are identified with, and you become like that. And always hold together to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to his book, the Quran, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will never go astray. And our deen is one of moderation, so just be easy, don't be too harsh. And whenever anything was permissible, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always chose the easier of the two ways. So do that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill your life with joy and grant you guidance throughout and make you steadfast in his deen, give you good health and peace and true happiness and prosperity, and grant you his pleasure. May you always live together in tranquility and love and respect and regard for each other. And may he bring forth from you generations of righteous children that enrich this world with their goodness. Inshallah, now we will conduct the nikah. As you know, the nikah is two parts. There is an offering and there is an acceptance. So our bride today has appointed as her representative, as her wakil, her father, Brother Abdul Sattar, who will make the offer to Umair. And the mehr has been agreed upon, and we have our two witnesses here. So inshallah, Brother Abdul Sattar will make the offer that you essentially say that I, Abdul Sattar Chaudhary, acting as the wakil, as the representative of my daughter Zahra Chaudhary, offer my daughter in nikah to you, Umair, in accordance with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the mahr agreed upon between us. And you can hold each other's hands.
I offer my daughter Zahra Chaudhary for your nikah, according to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the mahar agreed upon, are you accepting?
Yes, sir.
You can say, I, Omer.
I, Omer.
Accept your daughter, Zahra
Chaudhary. Zahra Chaudhary.
In Nikah.
According to?
The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The book of Allah.
And the sunnah of Rasulullah
subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the mahar.
And the mahar.
Agreed upon between us. Takbir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the two of them.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join them in all goodness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your spouse for you and make you the best. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put happiness both for you, each other, and for your families. And make this a means of khair for the Muslim community and the ummah.
Amen.
Barakallahu lak.
Barakallahu
lak. Barakallahu lak. Barakallahu lak.